From the studios of WNAA-FM-HD, welcome to another edition of How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WNAA-FM-HD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and as always, I have with me today...
Dr. Funderburk, you've got your boy, your main man, Keith Funderburk.
As usual, and I'm so glad.
Hey, there you go, fellas. It's good when the wife says she's glad. She's smiling.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, that means I might get a really big meal tonight. I might get some fried chicken.
Boy.
Okay, Dr. Funderburk, you know how I like to roll. You know, whenever we do our show, I get excited because that means I'm going to be in the good house tonight. Yeah.
In the good house.
That's right, the good house.
Okay.
So, Dr. Funderburk, you know, I try to give you a theme name each week.
Yes, sir.
Whenever we do our shows.
You do.
And so, Dr. Funderburk, I've got the iconic theme name for today's show.
You are an icon now? Oh, wow.
No. That's not the name.
Okay.
My name is, you can just call me Tommy. That's right. Call me Tommy.
Oh my goodness. And I'm some people are getting it already why he's called a Tommy.
Look ahead. Look, if you were born or watched TV back in the 90s, everybody know about Tommy.
Oh, why? Look,
I don't know what it was about Tommy. But Tommy said he had some jobs.
But it's like, man, you ain't got no job.
Ain't got no job, but look. Man, look, so don't.
No, you can't. You're not a Tommy, sir.
No, man, look, I have been in situations, man, where people just didn't know. And so.
That's funny. You said people didn't know if you had a job or
they
not.
They didn't know if I had a job or not sometimes. And my professional career, I didn't know if I had one either.
Well, you know what? That really brings up. Oh my goodness, y'all. This dude, you know, unemployment for Black Americans has been or is at its worst level since the pandemic. Did y'all know that?
It's like really bad for us, y'all.
Yeah, for Black Americans in particular, with some economists seeing the latest results as a sign of worse things to come for the U.S. economy. The unemployment rate for Black Americans hit 7.5% in August, according to seasonally adjusted data released Friday by the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
So, Dr. Funderburk, you know, that is huge.
7%? 7.5%?
7.5%. So, you know, when Main America or White America, you know, it's around 3-ish, 4. Mm-hmm. But generally, Black America, if we start seeing the increase, that means there's a sign that something is coming around.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, we're at 7.5. So y'all, this show is just so important because so many of us just don't have a job for a variety of reasons.
And you know, there are other ethnic groups that may already be seeing some of the effects of that weakening labor market. Unemployment rates among Hispanic or Latino workers ticked up 0.3 percentage points, and the overall unemployment rose 0.1 percentage points. So that 3% that you said for America in general, it has gone up, that ticked up that 0.1 percentage. And, you know, these sound like small percentages, but it's like when you look at what these percentages really represent, the numbers that they really represent, it's like, wow, man, this is not exactly what we want to have happen. And, you know, when this stuff happens, you talk about the impact that it has on us, you know, because when we have social situations or what have you, usually what is it that people initially start talking about, especially if you're doing the small talk thing, it's, hey, what do you do?
That's right. Yeah. You know, and again, earlier, as I was mentioning, I know we were joking in the first bit of the show,
mm-hmm.
but I have been in a situation where I was laid off.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a situation where I was fired.
Oh.
And man, in each situation,
mm-hmm.
When it transpired, it just, man, I felt like it was a sucker punch.
Yeah.
Because it was like, man, I thought I was doing a really good job.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think you were doing some good jobs. You know, I got some stuff to say about some of the one of those things. But,
uh-oh,
you know, I'm not going to do that on the radio.
That is. That's right. The wife going to try to come in. So, mm-hmm. you know, when you think about how this shows up, especially from a mental health clinician's perspective,
mm-hmm.
why is job loss, you know, and it can be a layoff, it can be being fired, mm-hmm. you know, it can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
Why does this cause such an emotional period for all of us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like you mentioned, sucker punch.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it feels like. And a lot of the job loss that has been going on recently, these things were layoffs, you know, some larger layoffs. And even when it is a layoff, it can feel like it was a firing. Either way, you were terminated from your job after you were there doing the job. And we oftentimes identify ourselves by what we do for a living. So now, you know, when you don't have that job anymore, it's like, well, I can't say that I'm, you know, I'm the blah, blah, blah at XYZ company.
Mm-hmm,
You know, at the small talk at the parties, when people will say, you know, hey, what do you do? Or what do you do for a living? There's not that same answer anymore. You have to shift it just a bit. And that can be really unsettling because your entire identity is starting to change. And for some people, depending on what the job was and depending on how long you've been in the job, because some folks have been in the job, that particular job, 5, 10, 15, 20 plus years. And when you've been doing that job or at that particular company for that long, maybe you haven't been in the same job for that long, and some may have. That is a huge shift. It's a shift in the finances, right? You had that
mm-hmm.
Stable check coming in every once a month or once every 2 weeks or whatever the situation was. But again, the identity, it's almost like, well, who am I now? Who do I describe myself as now? And that can really lead to those common colds again, y'all. Anxiety and depression can come up.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's exactly what happened with me,
mm-hmm.
because I had a lot of those emotions, you know, mm-hmm. you know, right when I was, and man, you know, when you're terminated,
mm-hmm.
especially in a large corporation,
mm-hmm.
the corporate security have mm-hmm. to come by your desk.
Mm-hmm.
You pack up your things,
mm-hmm.
and then they walk you to the car.
Right.
No, they don't just walk you to the elevator or to the door, Dr. Funderburg.
They walk you out.
They walk me out to the car. I'm like, man, I feel like I was a criminal or something, you know?
Yeah.
And so
the same thing has happened with some layoffs too.
Well, the same thing. And again, mm-hmm. that particular situation was I was terminated,
mm-hmm.
but I did get unemployment. Grr. Yeah. They did, terminate me.
You know, I joke with him and everything on here, y'all, but don't come for him. Okay.
That is, that is. We got Wonder Woman over here. She can just pull out a lasso or something, you know, take her crown off. Look, if she a sister, she can put on the boots. You know how your sisters get.
Anyway.
But even then, even a layoff. I mean, because a lot of times you don't get an advance warning.
That's right.
You know, for some of us, you know, when you're laid off, it's like same day.
Right.
You know, I've been in a situation where, you know, you might hear some grumblings and it might be sometime this year.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, you get a phone call, or they may say, hey, can I see you for a second?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay.
Boom.
Okay, now we're going to have to walk you to the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of us, we have a lot of remote settings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Dr. Funderburg, I want to ask this question because, you know, I did begin to feel like, you know, who am I? You know, I felt my self-esteem kind of go down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I felt like, you know, my self-worth. It's like, man, I ain't got my job. I don't have that fancy title. You know, I don't have that nice, you know, per diem. You know, I was traveling and doing all these things. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, I had this really, you know, my identity. I mean, what do you think? What was I going through at that time then, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, there was a shift in the way you saw yourself.
Okay.
So that self, there was a shift in the self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have the thing that provided income for your family. Mm-hmm. And that's why you all will hear lots of folks say, hey, you need to make sure you have multiple streams of income, right?
Right, right.
Because for that very reason, that's why people say that. And I definitely understand why people say that. But even when you do have the multiple streams of income, being laid off from a job or being fired from a job, it still is like that gut punch, that sucker punch, you know, because it shifts what you see as your day to day, what you are doing as your day to day. The whole purpose of everything starts to shift.
It really, really does. Mm-hmm. Again, you're listening to How You're Living, A Show About Life with the Funderburgs. You've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. And now we're talking about a very personal conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a sensitive conversation. Have you had a recent job loss? Maybe you were terminated. Maybe you were laid off. But for whatever reason, you're no longer there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you think about this then, Dr. Funderburg, and what you've seen as it relates to your patients and your family members and what have you, is there an emotional difference between being terminated or fired versus being laid off?
You said, is there an emotional difference? I think, yes, there can be an emotional difference, but it also depends on how you're going to view it.
Okay.
Because someone who has not had either one to happen, let's back up. Usually it comes across as the firing feels and seems worse than being laid off,
simply
because being fired, there's the implication that you have done something wrong.
Right.
Being laid off means that the company is making whatever shift, and it likely had nothing to do with you personally. It was the direction that the company was going. So there is that shock, I think, that comes either way, on either side of it. But for people who have not experienced either one and then they get laid off, it can feel like they've been fired, especially they might get walked out the same way someone who gets terminated, fired, is walked out. So it can feel like, well, why was I the one laid off then? Because everybody didn't get laid off. How come it was my job that got eliminated?
Look, it's Dr. Funderburg, and again, when I was laid off like that, it almost felt like the walk of shame. Because everybody else around me, they kept their job. But yet, I got to do the walk of shame, you know. Or if it, and then for those that are terminated for, you know, they may have virtual teams. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, your email doesn't work. You know, you got to turn back in your PC. And so it's like, well, man, why did Funderburg, you know, well, why did so-and-so get laid off? And so some
and
of these,
why did so-and-so, why was so-and-so kept?
Because, you know, the real deal is, you know, when you've been at a job for, let's say, 15 or 20 years, you know, you haven't updated your resume. You haven't been, you know, on
interviewing.
Some of the, you haven't been interviewing. Yeah, so you don't really know what the latest and the greatest, you know, things out there. You know, social media has really changed the landscape.
In the last 15 years? Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
it's completely changed. And then that is not to say anything about AI.
Oh, look, I'm telling you. You know, if you don't know anything about AI, there are so many different resources. When we say AI, artificial intelligence, that will help you create a resume or modify that resume And so,
or even send out that resume. There are bots that will send out your resume for you.
What? Come on.
And they will help you do your resume. They'll help you get it together. And then that bot will actually send it out for you, right?
Right.
And so that bot is going to send out resumes a lot faster than a human being can.
You know, I once heard somebody tell me, and this was one of my mentors, and he said, Funderburk, make sure, man, always keep your resume updated mm-hmm. and current, especially if you're putting it out there on social media, because you really never know.
That's
you know,
right.
Back in the day with my mom and dad and their generation, the baby boomers and even older, mm-hmm. they stayed at jobs for 30, 35, 40 years.
Right.
You know, but today, you know, with the millennial generation, the Gen X, Zs and all those, you know, generally speaking, you may not stay with a company maybe 5 years, 6 years.
And then it's like, then you've been there too long, it kind of
exactly.
seems like.
Exactly, yeah. So it's like, now you may stay in that industry, but generally speaking, mm-hmm. most people don't stay in the same with the same organization.
Right, and you're right. It did kind of shift things when as the generations have changed. That's what I mean. But it's still, if there's a layoff, mm-hmm. it's still kind of like, well, that's, you know, I'm leaving this job not on my own terms. So it can feel very abrupt. It can feel like what? It can feel, there can be grief that happens, that occurs. And you do have to grieve the process. Allow yourself to feel those feelings. Mm-hmm. Dump out those feelings, cry out those feelings, yell out those feelings, whatever it is you feel like you need to do, because this, I mean, it's a loss. It's a definite loss.
Well, see, now she hitting it, y'all. She putting the real deal
mm-hmm.
because I felt and did all that you said, Dr. Funderburk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I know y'all call you Dr. Funderburk, but at the end of the day, you are
mm-hmm.
my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember, you know, and for men and women, you know, we all different. Sometimes the genders react differently or we deal with stress or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I was punching the air. I was hollering in the pillow. Nobody mm-hmm. could know exactly what I was thinking and feeling, mm-hmm. at least initially.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wanted to internalize that thing. I didn't even want to talk to my wife, and she was the therapist.
Well, and it was a gut punch. Your layoff was a gut punch to me. And so I know if I felt like I had gotten punched in the gut.
Mm.
It's like, what in the world does he feel like? Because
wow.
he was actually, you know, in the job, right? So yeah, there can be so many different emotions that come up for folks, and all of them are valid, but you need to check, okay, how you gonna show up with that? Because it's like, okay, go ahead and dump out those emotions,
mm.
and then let's get back to it. It doesn't mean that even if there's a firing, because all firings are not fair, it doesn't mean that you can't recover from this loss.
Right, right. So that's a good point. You brought up something that a lot of families, mm-hmm. and especially, you know, if you, you know, for whatever reason, your spouse, your mate, or your close friend,
mm-hmm.
they lost the job, but mm-hmm. sometimes it's not just the person who lost the job for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
but it's that family member, that loved one. They may have some feelings, too, that can be just as impactful, if not even more,
mm-hmm.
because of the anxiety. You know, what are we going to do about health insurance? What are we going to do about baby food? You know, so let me ask this question. And before we do that, again, you're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, we're talking about job loss. So, Dr. Funderburk, so what can we do to help either the person that lost the job or mm-hmm. what are some coping strategies for that loved one and how can they support the person that lost the job? What do you mm-hmm. think? What kind of things can we begin to do? Give us two or three things.
So the first thing, you want to allow them, this person who has lost the job, you want to allow that person to feel the feeling or feelings, whatever they may be, because there's a lot that's probably floating around in that person. There can be the shock and surprise. There can be the fear, the anxiety. There can be shame. There can be anger. all of that can kind of be floating around within the same person, possibly even all at the same time. Mm. So it's not a situation of, okay, you need to be over that by now. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that they can't take movement or make movement or take action either. But you do want to be gentle with that person because they have had a loss. They have had what is likely a significant loss, even if it was just a part-time job. You know, it was likely it was something that they had that job for a reason, mm-hmm. right? So you want to keep that piece in mind. Also, especially for those folks who have been in a particular job for a long time and they haven't been in the job search process in a long time, help them to look at, well, what are the different things that are out there now versus 10 years ago versus 15 years ago?
Right.
You want to update those professional social media sites. You want to make sure that you have a professional picture on that site. You know, so helping them to say, yeah, actually put the picture up there. I had to say that to a family member. Put a picture on this professional site here because it looks shady when you don't have a picture on this site for your profile picture. It just looks like, well, why aren't they putting a picture up here?
Right.
So small things like that, the things that pop up as what you might say to a recruiter or questions to ask. You know, a lot of times people don't have questions to ask or they don't know what the questions are to ask when they go into an interview. And then they go there and they say, no, I don't have any questions. I'm going to give you a pro tip here. You always need to have a question when you go into an interview. Otherwise, it's looking like, well, they're not really interested. Even if they did answer all your questions, you need to have a list of 100 questions so that you can ask something afterwards. So that person who is the friend or the family member, you might find that meme or that little something on a particular social media site that says the 25 questions that you send or ask to recruiters. And they can, look through that list of questions to say, oh, wow, this does look good. And that is a good question. And I wouldn't have thought about that one. So you want to make sure you're not being judgy on this. You want to make sure that you're not increasing their anxiety any more than it already is, because likely their anxiety is going to be higher than it would have been if they didn't have the job loss. And also ask them, what can I do to be supportive of you right now?
Wow. And actually, Dr. Frederick, we're talking about job loss, but for those college students, maybe you recently graduated right here from A&T and you've been looking for a job. You know, you graduated back in May, but now it's September. And so it's like you've been looking and looking and looking, but nothing is coming up. You know, you majored in a particular, engineering, maybe you majored in education, but then you're not finding anything in your career or what you studied for. So it may not be a job loss, but I guess it could just be the frustration, the anxiety that I'm not in the field that I studied for.
Yeah. Because, I think some companies are just nervous right now. So there are some places that have hiring freezes on just because of the way things are changing politically.
Right.
So they're like, let's just stay put right for right now. And then we'll look at maybe hiring sometime next year or I don't know, whenever it is they decide. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're not a good candidate. It just means you need to stay in it and know that the no's are usually not personal, but always check yourself, check in with somebody to see, hey, what does my resume look like to you? And let somebody, a professional person that you know, let them what I call beat it up real good. Let them poke all the holes in it. Let them say, well, why do you have this? And you know what? You had an extra space over there. Why? That doesn't make any sense. And it just looks off, or it looks too busy, or it looks, too whatever. Let somebody else look at your resume. Let two or three people look at your resume so that you can get different opinions. One person is going to think that it looks great. Another person might have some suggestions for you. Go ahead.
So this is what we're getting ready to come up on the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we've given folks some strategy around resumes. We've talked about, social media, You know, I want to end with this question from an emotional or mental health perspective.
Yeah.
So now, what can I do? I've been kind of gloomy. I've been kind of down. You know, I felt really defeated. I felt shameful. Mm-hmm. What can I do to work on my emotional, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of get myself back into the groove or get my mojo back or something?
Yeah.
Because I just feel so defeated.
Yeah.
You know, what can, give me one or two things that I can deal with my emotion.
Well, the first thing is, being that you don't have the job anymore, what do you have? Time. You've got time on your hands right now. So that means go ahead and do that exercise that you were talking about. Oh, I need to get back to exercising. And you might not be able to go to the gym at this point if the finances don't allow for that. But you can always walk outside. You can always do things that allow for body weight exercises. You know, there are things that you can find to do. So do that exercising. At minimum, I would do something to get back out into nature, because it just can bring about a peace. And I'm not, y'all, I am not a nature girl. If I see a gnat,
I know that's
I'm
right.
Okay, quiet over there. he's saying the right thing. Because if I see a gnat, I'm like, ugh, get away from me. Mm-hmm. But just being outside is there's a soothing property about mm-hmm. that. You see the leaves blowing in the wind. You see that there's a cycle of life, and you don't stay in one point. And so, you know, seeing nature a lot of times helps you to remember that. The other thing, so the first thing is, since you have time on your hands, don't just sit at home and do nothing. Go ahead out, get the exercise, volunteer somewhere, connect with people. That's the big deal. Connect with people, because if you're feeling kind of funky, if you're feeling kind of anxious, if you're feeling a little depressed, it can be really easy for those thoughts not to be great in your head. And when you're by yourself, you're going to believe everything that you think, but not everything that you think is true.
Wow.
And then make sure that you have, you were talking specifically mental health. Oh, there was another thing that was in my head.
But we really do need to stay engaged though with people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We were built to stay connected to people. So if you don't have people contact at least two or three times during the week, that's an issue. So I need for you to start volunteering somewhere while you have the time. I need for you to go out and exercise. Go, if you have the means, go to the gym. Whatever it is for you, to make sure that you're staying connected, because this is temporary.
Right.
Period. It's, wow. It's just temporary. At some point, it will move. Now, I'm not saying how fast it's going to move.
Right, right.
But at some point, when you keep trying, it will move. I think this is what I was about to say. You may get a lot of no's.
Right.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not good enough. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It might just mean that, you know, you're applying at the wrong place, or the timing in which you applied. You know, there were some other people who maybe had more experience, or maybe had better connections than you, because that, we all know, that can be a part of the game, right? So you want to make sure that you, if you get a lot of no's, just keep going.
Yeah.
Keep
yeah.
going.
Wow. Hey, y'all, we got to wrap it up. So again, if you want to send us an email, the new email address is wnaafm@ncat.edu. wnaafm@ncat.edu. Dr. Funderman, did I do it okay?
I think you did it okay. And check us out again next week, y'all, on How You Living, a show about life with the Funderbergs. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Living with the Funderbergs. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests, and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA-FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA-FM-HD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA-FM-HD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You're Living with the Funderburks on 90.1 FM WNAA.